reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came to Capernaum with his followers, and on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet, come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed him and with a loud cry came out of him. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him." His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The second day of ordinary time, in this extraordinary jubilee of mercy, the Church places before us the mercy of God's teaching. We've talked before, elsewhere, in both St. Mark and St. Matthew, Jesus looked at the vast crowds and his guts were exploding with pity. And so he began to teach them many things. The Lord's teaching is a great manifestation of his merciful love. The ancient Jews would cry out, "Teach us your ways, O Lord, that we may walk in your truth." Instructing the ignorant remains such an important spiritual work of mercy. And so it's important for us at the beginning of ordinary time to recognize the incredible gift of the Lord's merciful love in his teaching and to examine how we respond to that gift. Our Alleluia verse today was, "Receive the word of God not as the word of men, not just as an ordinary word, but as it really is, the word of God, God speaking to us." As we prayed much earlier this morning in Psalm 95, when we began our morning prayer, there's an important expression there that attunes us to how we're supposed to receive this gift of mercy. If today you hear his voice, harden not your heads. No. Just wanted to see if anyone was alert and waking and ready to receive the word of God as it really is. Harden not your hearts. It's not our minds that go stony or cloudy. If we're not responding with amazement and authority to the Lord's merciful instruction, it's because of a heart defect. It's because we're not prepared to love. It's because we're not prepared to center our whole life, which is what the heart symbolizes in biblical mindset, center our whole life on what the Lord is about to say, that we're not really at the edge of our pews waiting for the power of God's word to change our life forever. Today's gospel, when Jesus went to the Capernaum synagogue and began to teach, they were astonished and amazed. They were astonished because he taught with authority, unlike their scribes and Pharisees. The scribes, you know, used to teach by attribution, by citation. Moses said, therefore. Sacred Scripture says, thus. And Jesus comes around, and he doesn't say, the prophet Isaiah told us. Doesn't say, the prophet Jeremiah told us. He said, you have heard that it was said to you, but I say to you. Authority comes from that Latin word auctor, which means author. He spoke as the one who had originated what was given to us through the prophets. To get a glimpse of what it would have been like to listen to Jesus as they were hearing him, and as the way we ought to hear him, It would be like listening to Steve Jobs talk about Apple computers and iPhones and iPads, Thomas Edison talk about electricity, the Wright brothers talking about flying and airplanes and the whole physics that are involved there. Jesus was talking about what he knew intimately, because it was through his word that all things were made. Do we listen with that type of amazement? The devil's not going to get us to spurn the word of God. But what he wants to try to have us do is to have our hearts become dull to the amazing, to the astonishing, to the authoritative gift of mercy of the Lord in teaching, to show the power of his word, because Jesus' miracles were all those illustrations of what he was trying to do by the words he was proclaiming and by the words he was saying in his body language. He healed this possessed man. Possessed man clearly knew who Jesus was. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Have you come to destroy us? And when Jesus said, "Quiet, come out of him," the demons obeyed. It's a sign when Jesus says something to us, go here, or come, or love your enemies, or forgive 70 times 7 times, or turn the other cheek. Do we obey better than the devils? God's mercy is shown throughout the readings today, throughout the feast. We see how penetrated Hannah was in the first reading by the power of God's mercy, and how that word of God had basically taken over her heart. Yes, her heart was mourning. She was there in the temple of Shiloh, bawling her eyes out in such a way that Eli thought that she had to have been drunk. But the Lord in his mercy did something in her womb. He heard her prayer because she was receiving God's gift on a generous heart. If the Lord would do this great gift for her, she wasn't going to treat that gift selfishly. Lord, give me this and I will give my son straight back to you. Little did she know what the Lord's plan would be for her son, that he would become a great prophet. She was just going to receive the word of God as a performative, not just an informative, expression of God's mercy, something that would change her, something from which fruit would be born. And that's precisely what happened, as we see in her response, which is taken the place of today's psalm. It's her heart pouring itself out in such a way that Mary, our Blessed Mother, would take most of her Magnificat from what Hannah had already pondered in her prayerful response to God's astonishing and amazing word. She knew that the Lord could do what she was asking, because the Lord always girds the tottering. He always feeds the hungry. She knew from her study of sacred scripture that the barren wife in God could bear not just a kid, but 7 kids. He raises us up. He makes the poor rich. He exalts the humble. All the rest of it. And so because of her receptivity to that great gift of God's merciful word, she was bold enough to pray. And it was her faith, frankly, that made the great prophet Samuel. As we'll see on Thursday when we come together, Samuel's companions in the temple, the sons of Eli, the priest there, were absolute rogues. Real symbols, as Pope Francis talked about a couple years ago, of the corruption that can happen in the heart, because they were using their position in the temple for graft, and to sexually abuse the women who were coming to the temple. They weren't going to be good influences on Samuel. Eli at least had a good influence one night, as we'll see. but it was really the faith of his mother that breastfed him, that allowed him to become such a proponent of that amazing, astonishing, authoritative Word of God, which filled him just like it had filled his mother. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Margaret Bourgeois, who lived between 1620 and 1700, born in Troyes in France, who came over to the New World when she was 32. And her story is a story of receiving the gift of God's astonishing word in such a way that she wanted others to be able to come to know the same Lord who speaks to us with merciful love in that word. Her parents both died when she was young. She sensed a real need to do something for God when, on the feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, she attended the procession of the statue of Our Lady. And at a certain point in that procession, Our Lady in the statue looked at her. She was touched to the core of her being about Mary's greatness in coming to visit her right then, and her love. So she associated herself with a local monastery and a lay confraternity. The monastery, among the various works, was to be a school for girls who would come into the monastery where they would be taught. But St. Margaret and the other members of the fraternity which she led recognized that there were a lot of girls who didn't know the way to the convent, a lot of girls who would never go to receive that instruction unless somebody went out to them. She was totally penetrated by the mystery of Mary's visitation, that Mary wasn't cloistered, that Mary, even though she was constantly contemplative in her heart, was repeatedly going on out on missions of mercy, like we see in the visitation, like we see in all the great Marian apparitions. So she was doing that. And then the brother of the superior in that convent came back from what we would now call Montreal, at the time, Ville Marie, a small little section there in Montreal, Mary's village. Described what a situation he had inherited there, that there were so many orphan girls, so many boys, so many Indians who had received no instruction, and that what he really needed for the evangelization of that area were secular women, not women in a cloister, but secular women who could go on out, form these schools, and start to teach. And Margaret signed up, and off she went. She brought some girls with her. She kept coming back to France to recruit others until the local bishop stopped her. And along the way, she encountered great friction from now Saint Francois Laval, the first bishop of Quebec City, who thought, according to the order of the time, that with all these Indians around as a spiritual father, how frankly could he put these beautiful women in danger by letting them go out and try to teach the gospel among a whole bunch of brute men who might have other intentions of what to do with those women. So he wanted them safe in a convent and basically wanted to change the whole rule of the Congregation of Notre Dame that she was founding, of Montreal, in order for them to be cloistered and have all the other students come to them. She said no, insisting upon the image of Notre Dame, of Our Lady, who was constantly going out on these salvific missions, that she and they needed to go on out, and it was rough work. They would go out and they'd sleep in tents in faraway villages despite how cold it was in a Canadian winter, constantly trying to find especially these orphan girls and give them an education. For those who are very bright, an intellectual education. For those who are a little slower with their hands, so that they'd be able to do something over the course of their life and they wouldn't be so dependent. She wanted to pass on to them her faith in the astonishing, amazing, authoritative Word of God, which can change everything, and even if they were orphaned girls, could lift up the lowly and exalt them among the true greats. Today, as we come forward, the same Jesus who entered the synagogue of Capernaum and taught authoritatively, the same Lord who responded with the Father and the Holy Spirit to Hannah's prayer in the first reading, the same eternal Son of God, born of the Virgin, who changed the life of St. Margaret Bourgeois and inspired her because of a heart that was attentive to the Word of God and its miraculous life-saving power. Same Lord who had entered into her life comes here to Visitation Convent in New York, hoping that we will receive this word, not as the word of men, but as it truly is, the word of God with its merciful power to save. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.